be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I have come back to that verse many, many, many times over the years, and we're going to talk about that promise from God's Word this morning as we continue this series, God the Ultimate Promise Keeper. And as believers, friends, we need to cling with faith to the promises of God. And that's what we're learning in this series. A few years ago, I went through the lowest time in my life. I went through a time and a season of anxiety and depression like nothing I had ever experienced before. There was inner turmoil going on in my own life. It seemed like God was just breaking up hard ground in my heart. There was external tension everywhere I looked. My extended family, we were having family issues. People weren't getting along. I was pastoring in a church. Man, we had tensions everywhere I looked in the church. Some of it was aimed right here. I was stressed out. I've noticed that through the years of my life, there have been very few seasons, actually, very few days when I have not had things in my world that have not tempted me to feel stressed out, to feel anxious. There's always something we can feel anxious about. You know what I've learned to call that? Life. It is life. It is life. It is the one of the things that every person in this room today we have in common together. We all face things that tempt us to feel worried and anxious. Jesus put it this way: in this world, you will have trouble. He's just stating a fact of life in a fallen, broken world. The statistics bear this out. 40 million adults in America deal with high levels of anxiety that would be even considered an anxiety disorder. 40 million, that's nearly 20%. $42 billion is spent annually, and that statistic is a few years old, so it's probably higher than that. One third of the total mental health budget in America goes to treating anxiety-related struggles and disorders. Now, whether you classify as having an anxiety disorder or not, the bottom line is we all deal, 100% deal with stress and anxiety of some level. And most of us, it is a rather daily occurrence. Conflicts, disappointments, unresolved issues, painful memories, misunderstandings, unfair situations. We live in a stressed out world. Would you agree? It's a stressed out world, and we're part of that. In one sense, we might say it's a result of sin. It's a result that everywhere we look, there are things that are broken. Things aren't worked the way they're supposed to. And part of that anxiety comes, I think, from this, I'll handle it. Or I have to handle it. I have to take care of this. The weight of responsibility falls on my shoulder and it stresses me out. It's a heavy burden to carry. You know when anxiety entered the human race? Right after the first sin entered the human race. Picture the garden. Adam and Eve have sinned, and then God shows up in the next verse, apparently to meet with them as he always had met with them, to walk with them in the cool of the day, but they're not there anymore. Where are they? They are hiding. And God says, "Where are you?" And Adam says, "I was afraid, so I hid." You think Adam was feeling a little anxiety about meeting God that day? Knowing that he had messed up and things were not the same, the connection had been broken, and we've been struggling with anxiety ever since. It's a fallacy that some people have that, well, once I become a Christian, God's going to change all that. Doesn't work that way, does it? I know a lot of Christians who would say, I've had more stress in my life since I became a Christian than before. Because before I didn't know any better. I didn't know how things were supposed to be. I didn't know God's, you know, standard and God's plan. And I just was kind of drifting through life. And yeah, I had some anxieties, but no, God doesn't fix everything when we get saved. But he does make some promises. And that's what we want to focus on this morning. So, if you want to get your outlines out, let's just kind of walk through this. I kind of got a very simplistic outline for you today. A problem, a solution, and a result is kind of how we're going to flow through this. The problem we've talked about, the problem that we have is anxiety and worry. Philippians 4, 6 starts this way. Do not be anxious about anything. He's speaking to all of us. I want you to hear Jesus speaking through his word today to you. I want you to hear him saying to you personally this morning, dear child, do not be anxious. Can you receive that this morning? Can you hear him saying that to you? Because you know what you're anxious about. You know what's weighing on you. And his word to you is, do not be anxious. And now we're going to move into the how do we get there. Because it's not just so easy as, okay, Jesus, I won't feel anxious. It's all gone. There's a process to this experience that he wants us to have. Do not be anxious about anything. That phrase literally means, it's a command, by the way. The sense of the words here that are given is, it's in the command voice or imperative mood. Meaning that he's not suggesting, he's not optional for the Christian. He is saying, do not be anxious. I'm telling you. I'm commanding you. I'm inviting you. Do not be anxious. It's not my intention, it's not my will, it's not my purpose for the life of my children to walk through life full of anxiety and worry. Stop worrying. Now this, on one hand, it's this, we might get a mistaken idea that Jesus is just calling us to not pay attention to the things that are going on around us, and not being anxious means, well, I'm just not going to deal with the stuff that I need to deal with. This isn't a call to withdraw from life, and it's not a call to not be responsible and deal responsibly with the relationships in my life and with the tough decisions I have to make and all of that. That's not what this is about. That's not what this call is about. In fact, there are places in Scripture where we're called to have genuine and deep care and concern for people. There are places where Paul wrote this letter to this church in Philippi, and there are places where Paul describes things like, I'm in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. You know, he's dealing, he feels great responsibility and in a sense a great deep concern for the Christians that have come to Christ under his ministry. And you feel there's a deep care and concern. So this call to not be anxious is not a call to, you know, it's not, remember the song? Don't worry, be happy. That's not what he's talking about here, not some laissez-faire attitude. Okay? So, anxious. Do not be anxious. This is a word that has the connotation of attempting to carry the burden of the future on one's shoulders. It's a word that is an unreasonable anxiety. It's the kind of anxiety that is debilitating. You understand what I'm saying? It shuts us down. It's a consuming worry and fretting. It's the kind of fear that tears us up inside. It's the kind of anxiety that creates ulcers and causes us to just kind of shut down. When I was going through this season a few years ago, there were days where I didn't feel like I could even pull myself out of bed. I bet some of you have been there a few times. I just felt overwhelmed. The Philippians, he's writing this letter to a group of Christians. Let me give you just a little context. Did the Philippian believers have anything to from an earthly human sense to be anxious about? Well, the writer Paul, who is a dear friend to the believers there, he's writing this letter from where? Prison. Where he's facing persecution and possible death. Let me try to get your hands around this. How many of you remember, is it Pastor Al Rocky was here for many, many years? What if today we learned that Pastor Rocky was in prison for sharing his faith? And then he faced a possible execution. It was in the balance. Do you think you would feel burdened, those of you who were here under his ministry and love him? Yes, you would feel a burden. That's what the Philippian believers were facing. That was one issue. Number two, in Philippians, we learned that there was a fellow member from their congregation, a guy named Epaphroditus, who was off and had met up with Paul and had become deathly ill. You know, we shared the burdens of the loved ones being sick this morning, and they felt that very same thing, and they felt an anxiety, a temptation to feel anxious about that. Not only that, but being a Christian in Philippi was not popular. The surrounding population, they felt an oppression from the people in the town where they lived. It wasn't popular being a Christian. So from outside, they were getting judged. From inside, they had two groups of people. They had one group of people that were part of the church that wanted to pull the church towards legalism. In another group that was trying to pull the church towards what I would call license, one group was saying, you got to keep all the rules, you got to do this, you got to do that. And another group was saying, oh, live however you want to live. It doesn't matter. Grace covers everything. So they had these pressures inside the church. Plus there's evidence that, get this, I don't know if you can imagine this, but there were people in the church that weren't getting along with each other. Can you imagine that? Fighting and tension. And it creates anxiety, doesn't it? They had all this going on. And then to top all that, they were dirt poor. This church had no money. They didn't have their building paid off. They didn't have money in the collection plate, hardly at all. It was a struggle. So I share all that to say, you feel the weight of why Paul would be giving them this spiritual encouragement. Don't be anxious. You have a lot that you could be anxious about. And I know that as we sit here today, even as we went through prayer request time, we have a lot we could be anxious about. It's a different list, but we have our list. Right? Do not be anxious. Corrie ten Boom, well-known writer who had experienced the Holocaust and concentration camps, she says this, just a short quote. She says, worry, listen to this, worry does not empty tomorrow of sorrows, it empties today of strength. That's profound. Worry does not empty tomorrow of sorrows. Those are going to come. You can't control the future. But when you are overly anxious, it empties today of strength. Proverbs says, the anxious heart weighs a man down. Jesus put it this way, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? So that's the problem. I think we've covered that. But the solution, number two in your outline, the solution is prayer. The solution is prayer, 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 prayer. It's the only solution he gives. Second half of verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Notice the extreme language that he uses in this section. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, go to prayer. You know what he's saying here? He's saying there isn't anything that's too little. Oh, I'm not going to bother God with that. God doesn't care about that. No, that's a lie. If it is creating worry and anxiety in your life, it is a target for prayer. He uses four words, notice in this passage, in this one verse, four words to describe prayer. He says prayer, petition, thanksgiving, and request. He uses four different words to kind of make sure he captures every nuance of prayer. The word prayer itself just has, it's a general term for our coming before God and our communication with God. The word petition gets a little more specific. The word petition is the act of taking our concerns and specifically presenting them to God. That's a petition, to letting Him know our requests and our needs. And then it says, and this is maybe the surprising part, with thanksgiving. When I'm full of anxiety, I don't feel very thankful. So this is more of a choice than it is a feeling, right? Does that make sense? I'm choosing to thank God. What am I thanking God for when my life's a mess? What am I thanking God for when I'm full of anxiety? Well, there's a lot we can thank God for as we turn to Him. We thank Him, first of all, that we're not going through this thing by ourselves. And we're thanking Him that we're not going through this thing outside of being under His sovereign love and care and concern and purpose. He's in control. We're thanking Him. And in the process of thanking, in the act of thanking Him, get this, we're taking our eyes for that moment in prayer off of the problem, the thing that we're feeling anxiety about, and on to the living, powerful God. Do you get that? The process of prayer for that moment takes our focus. I mean, isn't that how problems are? They just become obsessive. It's all I can think about. And the more I think about it, the more upset I get. And the more problematic it seems, and the more unsolvable it seems. And God says, look up at me in prayer. Thankfulness is the, if you will, it's the act of faith. It's that part where we say, God, I'm going to trust you with what's going on with this situation that I feel overwhelmed about. I'm going to trust you. And of course, that means he's going to fix it right away, right? No. So we're clear on that. But that's thanksgiving. It's an act of trust. It's what links our hearts and what's going on in our heart with God's heart. Do you get that this does not happen by accident? It doesn't just kind of happen because we're believers. We have to pray. We have to engage God in prayer. And every example of anxiety and worry is a candidate for prayer, no matter how big or how small. It should be our natural, or you might say supernatural, reflex to worry and anxiety is to go to God with it. Go to God. Present your requests to God. This, again, reiterates the petition idea. And I just want to hit this one more time, folks. Get really specific with God. He already knows. When I pray this kind of prayer, I just start talking to God. I say, God, you know. That's usually how I start it. You already know what I'm going through. But I'm going to say it anyway, God. Here it is. Here's what I'm going through. And God, you already know what this is doing inside of me. You know I'm full of anxiety. You know I'm full of fear. You know I'm worrying, wringing my hands over what to do. God, you know, but I'm presenting it to you. I'm turning it over to you. I don't want to leave it to chance that I'm trusting you. God, right now I'm saying it. I am trusting you with this situation. I'm turning it over to you. Get specific when you pray. First Peter 5:7 puts it this way, very simply. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. It's the picture of rolling your anxieties onto God. Taking that anxiety and pushing, God, this is yours. I'm giving this to you. This is more than I can handle, more than I can bear, more than I can figure out. I'm rolling it on to you. And then finally, the problem is anxiety. The solution is prayer, prayer, prayer. And then the promise. The promise is peace. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Couple observations about this. Let's understand this peace as we look at the last part of this morning. It is the peace of who? Talk to me. It's not our peace. It's not some self-generated peace that I can get apart from God on my own, read some self-help book or some meditation on the tree book or whatever that, crazy things that the world comes up. This is something that comes from outside of us and comes into our lives from God. God is referred to many times in Scripture as the God of peace, meaning that peace is part of His character. It's part of who God is. He is in control and He is at peace. And He can transfer and give us a portion of that peace. Galatians 5 tells us that it is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. It's as we walk with God, one of the things the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us does is He creates that peace, that God is in control, that God has our lives in His hands, even though right now maybe life seems out of control. God has us. That's that peace. It says that it transcends all understanding. It's not something you're going to be able to explain. And all I can do is say that I have found this to be true. When I have gone through the process of really rolling my anxieties and my concerns over to God in prayer, there's something that releases inside of me. That thing that I feel in my gut when I'm anxious that just feels like it's in knots. And I can't hardly... Okay, this morning, when I stood up at the beginning of the service and said a few words, I was anxious. I could feel my heart palpitating. What are they going to say? What are they going to think? Am I going to say it just right? And I had to pray, God, right now I'm feeling anxious and I'm getting ready to preach on being anxious and not being anxious. And God, I give you this. And I just got to tell you, God, in that next breath, it's just like He releases. There's a peace there. I still got to face the situation. I still got to face what's the issue in my life. It may be ongoing for a long time, but there's a new strength and a relaxation that sets us at ease. That God's in control. That's the point. That God's in control. And when I pray that prayer, here's what happens. A different me shows up to the situation. Not the me that's all fearful and bound up, and a new me shows up. Meaning that God releases His life through me when I turn everything over to Him. And I have discernment that I didn't have before to handle a situation. And I recognize that God has me in His hands, and if people hate me or people don't like me or whatever, well, that's okay. God's got me. I answer to Him. Don't live bound by fear. Guarding your hearts and mind is the promise. The picture there is of a military unit being placed to guard, you know, something that's really important. And so here, the imagery is that's God's peace that guards our hearts and minds. It's protective. God's not going to let anything in there to do damage. He guards it. I can't explain it. That's what it says. So I don't, as a pastor this morning, I don't have to explain it. It transcends all understanding. Right? So I'm off the hook on that one. I can just tell you that it's true, and I hope you've experienced it. And right now with the anxiety, whatever it is you're experiencing, take it to God and pray this prayer. Pray for this. God, I want Your peace. I want to be able to breathe. I want to be able to show up and be the person You want me to be in this situation. I don't want to be ruled by fear and worry. So that's the prayer. And that's the promise. That's good news, isn't it? Isn't this a good news promise? We all have anxiety. We all have worry. And God says that my promise to you this morning is if you will, if, this is a conditional promise, if you will come to me in prayer and bring it before me and be honest with me and roll this over onto me, I will give you peace in your hearts. Hearts meaning your emotions will be under him, and your mind meaning you will be bringing your thoughts under his control as well. You won't be obsessing over it. Peace. That's God's promise. Let's pray together. Father God, this is a great promise from your word. To live without anxiety in this overwhelming anxiety kind of sense. Help us to understand this morning, it is not your will or purpose for us to be overwhelmed with anxiety, to be shut down with fear. It is your desire and your design for us to have supernatural peace that only you can give. And you've given us the equation this morning in your word, God. It is prayer, prayer, prayer. Forgive us, Father, for our failure to pray about the things that go on in our lives. Help us to become a people who increasingly roll our anxieties over onto you because you care for us. Nothing too small. Certainly nothing too big. We need to give it all to you. And God, I pray finally that every person here, as we do that, as we pray about the things that are going on, that we would experience that supernatural Holy Spirit gift of peace that guards our hearts, our emotions, and our minds, our thoughts, and our choices, our will. God, do your work in us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.